You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Tuesday to you. Have you entered the transfer portal yet? If not, you're in the minority. It seems like everybody's jumping in right now. What a crazy day in college football yesterday. We're going to talk about it. Not just Arkansas. Now, Arkansas, they're right up there at the top of the pack in terms of players that have entered the transfer portal, but there's a lot of teams that are getting hit hard by this, and we'll talk about just how hard Arkansas is getting hit, because I think the numbers might be a little bit, you know, the perception is maybe a little bit different than the reality when it comes to the numbers. We'll talk about that. Arkansas basketball also in action tonight, taking on the number 14 Michigan Wolverines at Madison Square Garden. Anthony Christensen is in New York. We'll talk with him a little bit later. Ethan and I will share our thoughts too on basketball, but first let's get into the portal. We'll talk about the portal. We're not getting into the, are you getting into the portal?
I'm about to say, I'm not among the people getting in the portal this cycle. I am a, you can mark my word, I'm with Whole Hog Sports for, I'm locked in the next year.
So how many players are in the portal now? What's the updated number?
For nationally or Arkansas?
For Arkansas.
I think we're technically at 21 scholarship guys.
And then there's more walk-ons on top of that.
There's more walk-ons and stuff too, which, yeah, I think the scholarship guys, you kind of, that's the number you got to. You got to look at.
So, I mean, we're in the 25-plus range for Arkansas when you count the walk-ons?
I think 24.
24, okay.
So, but, yeah, there's only three of them. But, I mean, it's about as high of a number as you'll find right now in college football as far as the scholarship guys.
I did see something earlier today. I think it said that Mississippi State had the most scholarship players in the portal with 21.
Mississippi State and Arkansas, I think, are at the top, and I think Kentucky's right there behind them too. Yeah.
I think the last time I saw it was Mississippi State with 21, Arkansas with 20, Kentucky with 19.
Yeah, well, Arkansas's definitely got 21, so
okay.
So it's got to be right up there with Mississippi State.
And of course, this is all changing. It's what you would call a fluid situation. The portal. You know, as I look at this with Arkansas, some thoughts I have. Number one, I think you got to look at, you know, you got to dig into this and not just say, okay, well, there's 20 whatever players in the portal and the sky is falling and it must mean everyone hates Sam Pittman or they're not getting NIL money. I don't know that that's the case. Do I think that there are players who transfer because they're not happy with their coaches or coaching staff? Absolutely. I think that's the case, not just at Arkansas, but everywhere. Are there players who are transferring because they can get more NIL money somewhere else? I think that's probably the case. And I mentioned that on here that, you know, as long as Arkansas is going to be middle of the pack in NIL money, they're going to be middle of the pack probably, at least in the terms of the players that they can attract to Arkansas. And then you have to kind of catch lightning in a bottle to be able to perform above where, you know, you're kind of living from a recruiting standpoint. But as I look at this, Ethan, the players who have transferred from Arkansas or who have gotten into the transfer portal, you know, I only count about, I don't know, it depends on how you want to look at this, but somewhere around 6 to 8 who had a big impact or an impact at all on this year's football team. That's not to discount some of the players who played on special teams, on coverage units, protection units, things like that. You know, they do have their value. But, you know, you look at this and you say, Luke Haas, that's a really big loss. It's got the potential to be a big loss. I think everybody would say Luke Haas has not performed up to the level that people thought he would so far at Arkansas. You'd probably say the same thing about Isaiah Satania. It's got the potential to be a big loss because he could go somewhere else maybe and blossom into a better player than he's been at Arkansas. But you look at Isaiah and you say, did he really ever hit the ceiling that people had for him here at Arkansas? I don't really think he did. You got a couple of linemen, Patrick Kudas. You've got Josh Braun. You've got a cornerback in Jalen Braxton, but he barely played this year, didn't play after week two. You got Malachi Singleton, a quarterback. You know, the number two quarterback, he's always going to be very popular going onto the transfer market. You got Nico Davale at, you know, one of the defensive end positions. Past those players, and TJ Metcalf at safety, past those players, these are a lot of players who were really kind of irrelevant to Arkansas's, you know, 6-6 season this year. And I think some of this is just kind of, hey, it's a process of either one, you tell a guy you're not going to have a place here next year, so you need to go look and see what your options are, or it's a player who says, I'm not happy about my playing time. But either way, you know, it's kind of the same deal where both parties get to, you know, get what they want. You're gone. I'm going somewhere else. And so I don't worry so much about the numbers as I look at the production that they're losing.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't think anybody really, the whole number 21 is big. Like, I brought it up, how it kind of leads it's right at the top of the nation. But for me, it's, yeah, the starters and other impact guys. I mean, there's seven guys who started this season who are in the portal. One of them, I mean, you gotta be, I mean, one of them is Jalen Braxton. I mean, he started this year, but two games, didn't even play. But, I mean, you saw what he did his freshman year and how the potential there. I mean, it was clear all throughout spring ball and fall camp. He was like your ace cornerback. There wasn't even a question. I mean, the first depth chart comes out, and one cornerback spot, he's the starter, and there's a backup. The other one was literally a three-way or. I mean, he was the only one who you were like, definite, that's your ace cornerback. Then you have a guy like, you know, I know he got dismissed from the team, but Ty Washington, who last year, whenever Haz went down, he had crazy. I mean, you have some guys that have shown what they can do. But, yeah, I think you aren't really looking at the grand number of how many are in. It's the impact guys. And I'd argue Arkansas has about as many impact guys right now as anybody, as far as people who started and played a key role, and people that I think you mentioned, like a Luke Haz and Isaiah Satania, guys that you know the potential's there. And it's, I think that's what's, it makes people uneasy whenever they don't want to see a Luke Haz go to, I'm just throwing out a team named Ole Miss, and turn into, you know, just an All-American. That's what people hate to see.
But you're not going to be able to avoid that either. Even the really good programs are losing players to other good programs. Like Ole Miss, they lost Quinshon Judkins to Ohio State this year. Ohio State got Caleb Downs from Alabama. I mean, he was an All-America type player at Alabama. He may have been an All-American last year. I can't remember, but you know, the point being that this is even happening among the top of the top schools, because, you know, everybody's got their own ceiling and everybody's got their own floor, right? You know, so, I mean, maybe one guy is able to go into the portal and he's able to increase his payday from $100,000 to $200,000. And then there might be somebody who's able to go into the portal and they can increase their payday from $1 million to $1.5 million. It's just kind of how that works. And this isn't to discount the players who – you know, like a Haz, like a Satania. Again, I think that they all had an impact at Arkansas this year. I think that, you know, their losses are going to be felt at the bowl game for sure when Arkansas plays Texas Tech later this month. I don't really see a player here, though, again, based on the type of production that they've had at Arkansas, who you say, that guy's irreplaceable. What's going to be interesting to watch is, can Arkansas go into the portal? Can they replace Isaiah Satania with a better receiver, you know, at the type of positions that he plays, or a return man? Because obviously he had that responsibility too. I think one thing Arkansas has been able to do the last couple of years, not in every situation, but in a lot of situations, they have been able to upgrade or at least come out at equal to the player that they lost. And I'll tell you what I mean. Talen Green, upgrade over KJ Jefferson. At least last year, would you agree? This year's Talen Green's an upgrade over KJ Jefferson in 23?
It's hard for me to answer. Just the turnovers make it. It'd take out the turnovers, and absolutely, but yeah. The turnovers were killer this year.
But equal or better. Yeah. So I mean, I Rocket Sanders gone. Jaquindon Jackson comes in. Equal or better? Fair.
Better than this 2023 for sure.
Andrew Chambly goes out at left tackle. They bring Fernando Carmona in.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah, and I agree. It's across the board. You're seeing these things where they had either equal or better trades, but what's the result? 6-6. I think people want stability and to see players, but you can't get it anymore. You just can't. It's just, all right, out with the old and with the new, and let's just do it all over again.
But again, that's not an Arkansas problem.
It happens at Arkansas at a high rate, though.
It does. But it's happening at a lot of other schools that are stuck in this 4-8 to 6-6 purgatory, right? I mean, it's you can't bring players in and develop them anymore. And when you can't develop players, you can't develop team chemistry. You can't develop all the things that go into, you know, making a good football team. And this is not just football. This is basketball. This is baseball. This is pretty much every sport in college athletics now. So, I mean, I don't know why anybody is surprised that if you keep doing the same thing over and over every year, that you're not getting a drastically different result. If Arkansas wants to have a different result in football, they're going to have a higher salary pool for these players from an NIL standpoint. They are hopeful that when next year rolls around and they have revenue share with players, that it's going to slow down the number of players who are jumping into the transfer portal and looking for bigger paydays, because they're all going to be getting paid. You know, we don't know how much they're going to be getting paid, but they're all going to be getting paid. NIL is still going to be a big part of this next year. You know, NIL is going to be a supplemental fund that can go on top of whatever you're getting in rev share. But there's also supposed to be this clearinghouse next year that looks into the legitimacy of NIL deals. And so we don't know how all of this is going to look different next year. The expectation is, though, it is going to look different. But what we're talking about is like this era of college football, and it feels like the eras are getting smaller and shorter now. You know, I mean, you used to look at college football and it's like, oh, there's that 20-year era. And now, because of the way the rule changes and everything are happening, you know, this era of college football is really only maybe a 3 or 4 year era. In this era of college football, if Arkansas wants to compete at a higher level, they've got to have more NIL funds. And I just don't see that happening, at least not on a large scale.
Yeah, and it's always hard to know, like we said at the top, that there's some guys that it is all about, can they go get a bigger payday? There's some guys that it could be coaching that they're just lack of playing time. Like I think of a Luke Haas, and I think he genuinely liked it here. He just, his production might not have been, which at some point you're like, is it the player? Is it... Is it that they didn't get in the ball enough? It's just, there's a lot of conflicting reasons why people will get in the portal. And yeah, I think you said the word was purgatory of these teams that are kind of stuck in the same range as Arkansas, where it's like you have a lot of guys that it probably is that they can go get a payday somewhere else. I think for Arkansas fans, it's hard to see rivals jump them to where, like an Ole Miss, to where like Ole Miss is a hotbed to go play. You know, I'm not sure NIL is a big deal with it, but Missouri has certainly, I mean, had back-to-back good years. I know this year was...
I've heard they have a pretty good NIL situation.
And there. Then, I mean, you have a few Arkansas players. I get it. It's Nico Davier. I don't know how much people are, like, just losing sleep over him leaving, but he was a starter, and he's going on visits to Mississippi State. It's just like, I don't know. It's these within the conference to... I don't think anybody gets upset or doesn't understand if you see Luke Haas go to, like, Georgia, mm-hmm. or see Patrick Kudus go to Texas or something, like a team that this year is in the playoff and they're at the top. It's whenever you're seeing players like go to Ole Miss and and that's the main one, these Mississippi schools. It's like, how did you start losing them there?
But so anyway, right before we started this, Ethan said, well, who's going to jump into the portal while we're recording this?
Well, and there's conflicting reports
about a player potentially being there, so we'll stay away from that for a minute. You know, it's just, let's go back to, you know, this, everybody has a tendency to think that this is a, or like overreact probably to the numbers. Again, I go back to what have they done here at Arkansas. This is one of those times where the times that we live in, you know, and the immediacy of everything can cause people to freak out as opposed to just kind of sitting back and letting the process play out. I remember there was a baseball team 2 years ago, I think it was the last team that they had go to the College World Series. They lost a ton of guys in the to the transfer portal at the end of the year. And in a lot of the cases, it was guys who they had told, hey, you know, it's going to be in your best interest to go somewhere else next season, because they knew what they had coming in. They knew what they were going to look for in the portal. Now, Arkansas baseball and Arkansas football, I'm not putting them on even playing ground at all, because Arkansas football is nowhere near as esteemed and, you know, productive and successful as Arkansas baseball. But the point is that I think there's probably some of this going on in the football program where it's, hey, look, we appreciate you coming in. You know, they're not going to tell the player this, but there's probably some internal conversations about, hey, we made a bad evaluation there, or the development there just hasn't been what it needs to be. And they're trying to improve their roster next year. I think a lot of times people will look at the portal and say, hey, there's 21 players in the portal. That must mean that everything's going wrong and everybody hates the program and they're, you know, everybody's wanting to get out. I don't know that that's always the case. I think sometimes it's a two-way street here where the program is trying to enhance its roster.
Yeah, it's for sure. I mean, it's, you gotta, I guess, the, if you're trying to be cup half full just with this situation, it gives Arkansas a lot of space to go pick guys that they think fit them well, and maybe better fits than they had. That's the cup half full, half empty. Like you said, it's a bad, whenever you see this many guys leaving, it's a bad look. And especially like you read some of their guys, their comments on social media and stuff. And it's just like I read one the other day that was like, oh, we really clearing out. Like, it's just like they're all getting behind it. Like, let's get out of here type of deal. But
what
I don't know.
What did Tykes Crawford's Instagram say yesterday?
It was something pretty.
It was something about, you know, I'm about to go get that money or something. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it is a total money grab. But yeah, again, I don't know that it's that way for every person.
And you wonder sometimes, too, you just got to like read between with players. Like, it's, if they're saying about to go get that money, as far as like they're going to go somewhere that's going to get them ready for the NFL. Like, I could interpret that as I'm going to go somewhere and then get ready for the NFL draft. But
I had forgotten Tykes Crawford was on the roster. I really had. And some of these names.
In fall practices, when a few guys were dinged up, he was getting some actual run. But, and I mean, he's started games at Arkansas before in the past.
This year.
Not this year at all, but he's started 6 games in his career. So he's one of those guys that's like, you forgot he was on the team because he didn't play this year. But he actually, I mean, as far as years go, I mean, I guess he was in his 4th or 5th year.
I guess they could have used him in the bowl game with all the linemen that are gone, or at least he could have, you know, maybe put himself in position to play in that game. But there's a number of players. I couldn't tell you exactly how many. But, you know, as we've been going through and especially, you know, you've been doing the legwork of this, writing these profiles on these players who were leaving, there were a number of them who didn't play after the UAPB game, and Crawford is one of those. You can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com, most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports. Our award-winning team of reporters and photographers bring subscribers the most trusted Razorback news with analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. I saw something this morning, Ethan, from ESPN. It was their top 100 players in the transfer portal. Arkansas had 3.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it was Kudus, Jalen Braxton, Lucas.
I think that's right. Like New Mexico had 4.
Yeah.
Purdue had 5, I think.
Yeah.
And those were not good programs. And so, again,
I think New Mexico has a really good running back in the portal, I think.
But, you know, those teams weren't very good this year. And it goes back to, you know, just what I was saying earlier, that just because they're losing these players doesn't mean that they're irreplaceable players they're losing. It has is a big loss. I don't know that I see anybody else on the roster where you say there's not a good chance you could go into the portal and find someone at least as talented.
Yeah, Jalen Braxton, I'd say those 3 that I mentioned a second ago are the ones that you would look at and probably say the ones that hurt the most between Kudus.
But again, with Braxton, he didn't do anything this year.
Yeah, but I think that we're basing that off more what he did as a freshman and what you saw. And like, when he's healthy, which I don't even know if like by the end of it, if that was a – I mean, that was a long time for an injury this year. I guess he probably – I would assume he probably knew he was going to go in the portal for a while longer. But when he's healthy, I mean, he's really good. It's kind of similar to – I view him as like, I could see a similar thing to what happened with Chris Paul, as far as he just goes somewhere and absolutely blossoms, or could be nothing, could not be a big loss at all. But I just think that we've seen enough of him, especially toward the end of his freshman year and in practice, where he was just the lockdown corner, that I have a lot of faith in him to go somewhere and do good things.
Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
During this era of NIL/portal, which player left Arkansas and went off and did the best?
I mean, they're just fresh on my mind because they happened last year. But, I mean, both Rocket Sanders and Chris Paul had great seasons this past year. But, I mean, there's also – you see these two people will there's a lot of people that they transfer, and there's not a better opportunity. You're not leaving for greener grass. I mean – KJ Jefferson, hate to say it, but I mean, and that was probably a pretty mutual just with how last year went.
So too.
But like, I mean, he didn't get to play at UCF for most of the year. I think he started like 3 games and then that was it. There's a lot of guys that go and it isn't greener grass. But, I mean, there are some guys, too, that under the radar, like Jordan Crook, who is a linebacker at Arkansas. He's a big-time contributor on an Arizona State team that's in the playoff. There's some guys who, you know, you think in the past that went to Colorado. I'm blanking on name. Miles Slusher.
Miles Slusher.
He had a pretty good year at Colorado.
You know, I think, and again, I may be missing somebody. Jackson Woodard.
Oh, he had a fantastic year. I mean,
he's having an All-America type season.
And that's
UNLV.
Such a different situation, though, because at Arkansas he wasn't. He was a walk-on at Arkansas, mm-hmm. where it was like you didn't feel the loss at Arkansas until there was a gain at the next place. A lot of these, the ones that people freak out are whenever you felt at Arkansas their impact, and then you know Jackson Woodard. I think most people just celebrate like, oh, look what he went and did. And I mean, same with Zach Zimos, who went to Louisiana Tech and Arkansas played him. He had a good year. So I think for a lot of those guys that didn't really contribute at Arkansas, maybe didn't have as much of a shot to, you know, it's just like you see what they do somewhere else. And, I mean, maybe some people get really ticked off that Jackson Woodard wasn't playing over Bumper Poole and Grant Morgan and a few others. But, I mean, I think most people understand, like, that was just a case of a guy who went somewhere and, you know, that there was an opportunity.
It's just it's a reminder that the players that you freak out about losing, sometimes those aren't the players you should be freaking out about losing. Richard Davenport's covering for us on our website the players who have gotten offers out of the transfer portal because it's a two-way street. They got to go find players that are replacing some of the ones they've lost. They've got help me out here, Ethan. They've offered so far James Thompson Jr., a defensive line transfer from Wisconsin, who I think he missed all of this season with an injury. He was a starter for 11 games for Wisconsin last year, had a decent stat line, 3 sacks, 5.5 tackles for loss. Also, I think started some games for them in 2022. You got a Fresno State receiver in here, Jalen Moss. He's received an offer from Arkansas. And again, just because they receive an offer doesn't mean they're coming. But he was a player who had about 600 yards, 4 touchdowns this year. Playing out in the Mountain West. I saw something this morning. They had offered a defensive tackle from Louisiana Tech. Of course, they've had some success, minor success maybe with Kevier Rose coming in from Louisiana Tech. He was a serviceable player for them, though, and they've offered this defensive tackle from Louisiana Tech. His name is David Blay. So that's who they're going after at this point. I suspect there's a lot more that just haven't gotten reported, and we'll see how this goes.
And here's my thing. I think Arkansas the past few years has, you think of a Jaquindon Jackson. He's just the first one that comes to mind. But I think in Xavien Story, there's another one. They'll go after some players later in the cycle that are coming off more winning. They like to, I think, recruit transfers from winning programs. And so I think you'll see at the end, whenever some other team's seasons are ending, a little bit more, which it makes it tricky because there's the December 28th cutoff to enter the portal, which, mm-hmm. I mean,
but there's a lot of bowls before December 28th this year.
There is, and that's – but what an incentive just with the portal to go deep in the playoff, because so many players are not going to want to get in the portal before a playoff run, and then I guess that they have to wait till the spring if they're going to after that. But, I mean, it's just like with that cutoff, if you're playing after the 28th in a meaningful game that is going to keep players around, I mean, that's a big-time incentive to make it that far.
Seems like some of Arkansas's better players they've gotten out of the portal. You know, ask who'd they lose and who's done the best since they left. Like Andrew Armstrong, was he celebrated when he came out of the portal? I don't think so.
No,
there are probably a lot of people wondering, hey, why are you wasting a scholarship on a Division II player? I think he's going to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they also went after,
it's not like he's had a career like Armstrong, but Tesla came from a D2 school.
D2 school.
He's done pretty well for himself at Arkansas. It's funny.
It doesn't mean they all work.
It doesn't, not at all.
Like Anton Junkaj, that didn't work out this year. He was an All-American at FCS last year.
Yeah, and maybe there's better things to come, but I don't know.
Anyway, that's my unsolicited advice. Just sit back and let's see how this thing goes. Because, again, it's not so much about the players they're losing. It's about how they replace those players. And then, we'll see. They were 4-8 last year. They lost several players to the transfer portal. They were 6-6 this year. Obviously, 6-6 is not where you want to be, but it was a step in the right direction, I think, from where they were a year ago. We'll see if they can take another step next year. When we come back, Anthony Christensen is going to join us. He's up in New York for this Arkansas-Michigan basketball game. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Arkansas basketball in action tonight, taking on the Michigan Wolverines at Madison Square Garden in New York. It's going to be an 8 o'clock tip-off Central Time. That's the scheduled game time. Tennessee and Miami are playing beforehand. You know how that goes. There may be a little bit of a delay before Arkansas and Michigan get underway, but an 8 o'clock tip time Central is that's the scheduled game time for tonight. Michigan ranked number 14 this week in the AP Top 25 basketball poll. The Wolverines come into this game with an 8-1 record. Arkansas is 7-2. Both of these teams in their first year under new head coaches. Michigan, Dusty May, the former Florida Atlantic coach, led the Owls to the Final Four in 2023. Of course, Nellie Davis was on that team. He's playing for the Razorbacks now. This is a Michigan team that has been really good defensively to this point in the season, and they're certainly one of the upstart teams in college basketball. Arkansas's last chance really to get a big non-conference win this year. Michigan, the final Power 5 team that the Razorbacks will play, Power 5 in basketball, because you include the Big East in that conversation. But the final Power 5 team that Arkansas will play before SEC play begins early next month. Anthony Christensen, who covers the basketball team for us, is in New York. Anthony, this is kind of a cool deal for you, I guess, covering a game at the Garden.
Oh, yeah. This is big time. I'm very excited. I mean, the Garden is like a bucket list thing, right? So, yeah, right now I'm just sitting in LaGuardia on a couch that I found. Some people keep looking at me because I'm sitting here talking on the phone, but we're good. I'm excited. This should be a lot of fun.
You made me nervous by traveling the day of the game. I can tell you some horror stories about traveling the day of the game. I'll tell you one. I covered the 2006 SEC football championship down in Atlanta, and I decided to travel the day of the game there. You know, it was an afternoon game. I left out of X&A really early that morning, and then we ran into a little hiccup at O'Hare on our connecting flight. And long story short, I walked into the Georgia Dome for the SEC championship game as they were playing the national anthem. So, and that was because we landed probably as the bands were starting their pregame routine. I mean, we really cut it close. But I'm glad you made it.
If this was like an afternoon game, yeah, I would have come yesterday. But since it's a late tip, you know, all that stuff, I was feeling pretty confident in my ability to get here the same day.
Yeah, there's no shortage of flights going in and out of New York too. Michigan, I know this is a team you're really high on. You've got them ranked in your AP poll this week. Like, what's the challenge for Arkansas tonight?
You mentioned it earlier, but defensively, Michigan's been really good, right? I mean, just the way they, you know, their ball screens and, you know, how they kind of move off the ball and everything along those lines. And they've got 2 7-foot guys who are great rim protectors, right? Vlad Golden, who followed Dusty May to Michigan from Florida Atlantic. He's a great rim protector. And you got Danny Wolf coming in from Yale, who's also a big 7-foot guy who moves like a guard and can protect the rim as well. So, I mean, defensively, I mean, you've got a lot of challenges there. And then offensively, you kind of look at it. I mean, Michigan's a pretty well-balanced team that can score in a lot of different ways. But the main thing you want to look at is, you know, those two big guys, Golden and Wolf. I mean, the way they play off of each other, the way that, you know, Danny Wolf is kind of a point forward, and the way he just kind of moves and passes and, you know, the way he's able to play off the dribble despite being a seven-footer. I mean, that's going to pose a lot of problems for Arkansas, especially if, you know, somebody like Svanimir Ivicic isn't going to be available for this game, which we don't know if he is or isn't because he missed the last game against UTSA. So, I mean, those are the kind of things. I think those two are the big, you know, matchup problems. I don't know if you want to put, you know, Jonas Adu on Vlad Golden in the post and kind of have Ivicic and Trevin Brazil kind of run at Danny Wolf, you know, kind of taking turns in that regard. I'm not sure, but yeah, that's kind of those are kind of the things that stand out when I watch this Michigan team. Like you said, I'm quite high on Michigan. I think I had them 11 in my poll. So yeah, I think this is a very good team.
You look at their schedule, and you know what jumps out to me is that there's a lot of name brand teams that they played this year. Their only loss was in their second game, and that was against Wake Forest. It was in Greensboro, North Carolina, so it was on a neutral floor, but it was basically a road game. It's kind of like the Razorbacks playing a game in North Little Rock this weekend. They beat TCU. They've beaten Virginia Tech. They beat Xavier, I think, was a game that really kind of got everybody's attention, beat Xavier by 25 points during a multi-team event. Then in the last week, they've beaten Wisconsin and Iowa, a couple of really close games to start Big Ten play. It looks to me like this is a team that's probably a little bit more battle-tested than Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way Dusty May has kind of always built out his schedules, especially since, you know, Florida Atlantic kind of rose to prominence in this last couple of years there, because when you're coaching a mid-major like that, you need those opportunities to have the chance to be, you know, in that at-large discussion for the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And you always like to see that kind of continue when a coach like that gets that opportunity to move on to the next level, because you'll always see a lot of times you'll see, you know, coaches at the power conference level play against, you know, very easy schedules to kind of ease into conference play. So I've always kind of held a big time respect for Dusty May in that regard, and not just that regard. I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. But, yeah, I mean, this is a Michigan team that's in a lot of good teams, like you mentioned. I mean, that loss to Wake Forest, that's a Wake Forest team that, you know, is good, maybe has not lived up to preseason expectations to this point, but is still a good team, a lot of good players. And then playing against, you know, the likes of TCU, having already played two Big Ten games. I mean, they've looked good, right? They've looked really good in those games. Maybe those games against the Big Ten teams were a little closer than you'd like, but still, I mean, they're still winning games. They're beating good teams. So, you know, they're battle tested. They're getting ready for Big Ten play. It'll be a lot of fun to see them tonight. That's for sure.
What have you thought about Arkansas the last couple of times out and maybe how that translates into tonight's game?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously a bit of a flat start against UTSA, a lot of turnovers in that game, didn't force a lot of turnovers, which is partially because of how UTSA plays. But you definitely want to see them come out better than they did against UTSA, because if they come out and play the same way they did against UTSA against this Michigan team, you're looking at, you know, a team that can really run it up quick. A little bit like, you know, the start against Illinois. You come out flat like that. I mean, Illinois obviously put it on them early. I think Michigan can do the same thing. Illinois, another team I had ranked, despite their loss to, you know, at Northwestern in overtime. But you know, I think you want to see them, you know, come out with more energy than they have those two games. That'll be, I think, really important. Obviously, you're going to need to stop, you know, the two big guys, like I mentioned. I still want to see a full 40-minute performance from Arkansas, if that makes sense. I don't think they've put together a full strong 40 minutes, unless you want to count Maryland Eastern Shore, which, frankly, I don't. But I still want to see them put together a full 40 minutes because, I mean, this team has a lot of talent. I think it's one of the most talented teams in the country just based on the names and the players on the roster and all of that. But to see them put together a full 40 minutes is kind of what I'm waiting for. And I think, frankly, they're going to need that against a really good Michigan team.
If Avisic can't play, how do you think that affects Arkansas?
I mean, immediately you look to the two big guys Michigan has, right? I mean, like I said earlier, I think you probably put Adu on Golden. But you're going to need a guy who can, who's quick and can move to, you know, play on Danny Wolf on the defensive end and on the offensive end too, right? And do you want to have that to be, you know, solely Trevin Brazil's responsibility for the full game? I'm not so sure, even though obviously Trevin Brazil's an exceptional athlete. He's a good player. You want to be able to, you know, switch guys in and off, you know, on and off from time to time against a guy like Danny Wolf. You're going to want to be able to disrupt him. So, and obviously Avisic is one of, if not the best 3-point shooter they have. Mm-hmm. So that severely limits you offensively. You lose one of your best rim protectors, if not the best rim protector you have. So, I mean, you lose a lot if he's not able to play. If he's not able to play, that's a huge loss. And I'd be interested to see how they kind of approach this game if Avisic can't play. Because, I mean, frankly, I mean, there's so many weapons that Michigan has that can really hurt you if a guy like him is not available.
Well, and he's just been such a big part of Arkansas from a scoring standpoint. Yeah. I mean, he's averaging 12 points a game. I felt like you could really see where they were missing his scoring when they played the other day at Bud Walton. Michigan,
yeah,
I mentioned they're ranked number 14. They went from unranked to ranked number 14 this week. It's the first time that they've been ranked in the AP poll since November of 2022 when Juwan Howard was their head coach. And, Anthony, I saw something today. John Rothstein said this, that when John Calipari led UMass to the Final Four in 1996, Dusty May was 19 years old. So just kind of a.
And I was not born.
Well, okay. So, but, you know, I mean, it's really kind of I feel like Dusty May is among the future really great coaches in college basketball. And so it's kind of like one of those. And I'm not saying John Calipari is riding off into the sunset, you know, by any means, but it does feel like one of those, you know, kind of, you know, not even passing of the torch, but you know what I'm saying. It's you've got mm-hmm. the future against the present, past, however you want to look at Calipari.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dusty May has always kind of been, you know, one of those guys people have kind of looked at as like, you know, being potentially one of those guys, and then leading Florida Atlantic to that Final Four obviously would boost anybody's stock. Maybe got a little fortuitous with their second round matchup being against Fairleigh Dickinson, but still, you play the games you play and you get to a Final Four. I mean, there's a very, very, very select few number of coaches who can say they've been on that level. He's one of them. And to do that, you know, this early into his head coaching career, it's a testament to, you know, who he is and how good of a coach he is. But yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, a guy like him, you know, being, you know, one of these, you know, next stars of coaching. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's obviously other mid-major guys you look at, you know, Alan Huss at High Points and, you know, Ben McCollum at Drake, you know, people like that who you can, Russ Turner at UC Irvine, you know, people like that who you can kind of see, you know, maybe these are the guys who are next up. But if you want to say like definitively, like, this is a guy who looks like 100%, maybe, never 100% certain, obviously, right? People can fall off. But this is a guy who looks like he is, you know, that next guy up in the coaching profession. I mean, the first person you're thinking of is Dusty May, you would think, right? So, I mean, he's fantastic. Like you said, I wouldn't say necessarily a passing of the torch game, just because obviously John Calipari's produced a lot of good teams. Maybe not all the results you want in March and the last couple of years, but obviously the tournament is the tournament, and that's it's kind of a crapshoot. But yeah, it's a very fun coaching dynamic, just to be short, I guess.
Anthony, enjoy your time in New York.
Oh, I will.
Stay out of trouble. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, Ethan Westerman will be back, and we'll talk more Razorback basketball. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They have been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. We'll continue our Arkansas-Michigan discussion here, so long as no football news breaks while we're recording. This feels like a game. This is the first game, Ethan, I think I've gone into with Arkansas this year where I don't think they're going to win the game. Now, I'm sure I say that, and they probably come out tonight guns a-blazing, and they win the game, because I've been pretty bad about predictions this year, at least some predictions. I remember I said Tennessee was going to be their least winnable SEC football game, and it was the only one they won, at least at home. And I said I didn't think they were going to the Liberty Bowl last week. Well, look where they're going. They're going to the Liberty Bowl. So take my, you know, take my word with a grain of salt sometimes. But going into Baylor, I thought that they had a puncher's chance to win that game. Same thing with Illinois on Thanksgiving. This game, maybe it's just because there's more data on Arkansas basketball now and on Michigan. It doesn't feel like a game that I have a lot of confidence that they're going to win, and especially not if they have or if they don't have a Vesich. He's such a crucial part to their offensive game that if they don't have him against a good defensive team, I think it could be trouble.
Yeah, he's for him, I look at who's been consistent for them this year shooting the ball, and he's about the only one that I'm like, he's consistently making threes that he takes. So that is you got to have some guys step in and knock down some shots tonight, I think, in his absence. It also, I mean, it does make it feel a lot different this game that, you know, whenever they played Baylor, when they played Illinois, there was a pretty number beside Arkansas's name where they were ranked. This is the first time Arkansas has gone unranked versus a ranked opponent. And it's not only that Michigan's ranked, they shot up there. They went from unranked, I think, to
14.
To 14. Yeah. And it's because, what they've done, they have probably over-exceeded what anybody thought they'd be at this point. I'm not super polished on Michigan right now, but I think they're 8-1.
Yes.
And they've beaten a top 15, was it who'd they beat?
They beat Xavier.
They beat a really good Xavier team. And so this is a Michigan team that I think, from my opinion, I'm looking at it, and they're tested right now in a way that maybe Arkansas isn't quite yet. Arkansas has played a couple big games, but have they played the amount that Michigan has and shown that they can win them? That's my thing. Arkansas, its only power conference win right now is at Miami in the ACC-SEC. So, you know, you always got to get your second one, though. Maybe tonight's the night they do get their second one, and it would be the type of win that would help. It would be the type of win that would move Arkansas back, I think, into that picture whenever people talk about who can be really competitive in the SEC, because I think a lot of people have lost hope right now seeing because of what Arkansas has done. Not that they've just been bad or anything. It's how good the SEC is. People have kind of started to slide Arkansas down there. This would be the type of game that I think could get people to maybe, oh, don't forget about them and the SEC type of deal if they could go in and pull this one off tonight.
This is the first time ever this week that the SEC has had 5 of the top 10 teams in the AP top 25 basketball poll. Tennessee's number one. Tennessee's actually playing on the same floor as Arkansas tonight. They'll play Miami in the early game at the Jimmy V Classic. Auburn's number 2. Kentucky's number 5. Alabama's number 7. And Florida is number 9. You got more SEC teams in the poll, by the way. You got OU at 13, A&M at 17, Ole Miss is at 19, and Mississippi State's at 25. And you got plenty of other teams that are right there knocking on the door. Missouri, what they did to KU the other day, I think that has to get your attention. Arkansas is still right there receiving votes. I think Georgia's receiving votes too. this is as good as SEC basketball has looked in a long, long time, and maybe ever, when you take into consideration the fact that there's 16 teams versus there were, you know, 12 or 14 in the past whenever they might have had an upcycle. And so, I think this is a huge game tonight for Arkansas. You know, it doesn't mean you have to win the game, but play competitively enough, come out, shoot better in the first half than you have the last several games. Give yourself, you know, a feeling at halftime where you feel like you're in the game. And, you know, again, it doesn't mean you got to win the game. If Michigan, you know, beats you on a three with 14 seconds left, okay, you tip your hat and you say, you know, you made the play. But they got to be more competitive in this game than they were against Baylor or Illinois. And really, they got to be more competitive than they were in the first half against Miami, because one of the great stats this year is that in 120 minutes against power conference competition, Arkansas is led for a total of 1 minute and 47 seconds.
Yeah, and it's a mental block whenever you're trailing the whole time. It's like that Illinois game was about as frustrating of a basketball game as I think if anybody could watch as a fan. I mean, whenever your team is down by 10 to 15 points consistently the whole game. It was like I think Illinois led by 17 at one point, but for like most of the second half, it was like just Arkansas got it to 9 at one point. That was as close as they got on a Brazil 3. They were just stuck in this, we're using the word purgatory a lot today, this 10 to 15 point purgatory.
I used it once. You've latched onto it.
Well, I have, and it's because it was a good word to use today. It's what we're all stuck in while this transfer portal's open. But anyway, it was that they need to get past the mental block of just trailing for a lot of these games. I mean, Baylor was the same deal, where it's like Arkansas maybe grabbed a lead or two in that game, but it was never anything to really to grasp onto and run with. I think people want to see Arkansas take the next step as far as like just not digging holes to try and climb out of and taking a lead and just being the better team for a whole 40 minutes.
Are you listening to Christmas music yet?
Yeah, I'd start pretty early.
Your mood is not reflecting what Christmas music usually makes somebody feel like.
Well, listen, we've all had a...
You're talking here about being in purgatory till December 28th. Well, you're going to miss Christmas by being in a bad mood over the transfer portal.
Listen, they need to change these portal dates. It's wrong to have it be a thing on Christmas.
What kind of Christmas music are you listening to?
The NCAA is the one.
You need better Christmas music.
If we're going to gripe at somebody, gripe at the NCAA for making this portal window when it is. They're the ones who made it smack dab in the middle of holiday cheer.
What's your go-to Christmas album?
Album?
Yeah.
I don't really have a go-to.
Like a Marvin Tabernacle Choir type?
No. I don't really have a go-to album. I'm like, just play the classics. Just give me the there's all these names of people who, since I'm, you know, pretty young relative to you, they actually, I think, have pretty like successful music careers outside of their Christmas hits, but I only know
like they're known for their, like a Brenda Lee.
Yes.
Rocking around
Brenda
the Christmas
Lee.
Tree.
There's a Billy something. Let me real quick, just give me some time. I'm going to read some of these names of people who...
Bing Crosby, is that what you're going for?
Bing Crosby, that is one.
Were you going to call him Billy Crosby? No,
Bobby Helms.
Okay.
Bobby Helms, Andy Williams, Nat King Cole. I think I've heard that one like outside of Christmas too.
You haven't hit Christmas season until you've heard Nat King Cole.
Burl Ives.
Yeah, Burl Ives. Frosty the Snowman.
I know who Judy Garland is because I think she was in the Wizard of Oz.
She was. Yeah, most people know that.
Frank Sinatra, I know he was very successful outside of Christmas, but that's all I'm saying is you go to your Christmas albums and it is the rotation of these names that come out every Christmas, and Brenda Lee, I think, yeah, she's your she's on the Mount Rushmore of Christmas names that you see at only Christmas.
I'm gonna give you two albums. You need to go listen to Cody Johnson's new Christmas album if you want like modern Christmas music. And then if you want something really good, go back and listen to Gene Autry's Christmas album.
Okay.
From like the 1940s, 50s, somewhere in there.
I'll take your word on it. Are we wrapping this up?
I think we're still talking about basketball, actually. We got some clips here to play.
I was going to say, there's something I got to get in before we end the show today.
I just want to get you in a better mood because it's Christmas season and you're like a sourpuss over the transfer portal.
What'd you just call me?
Sourpuss.
Listen, this... I don't even know what to say. I'll be that until this portal gets some changes to it. I hate this portal right now.
Nelly Davis is playing his former coach tonight, Dusty May. We mentioned at FAU, Nelly Davis was on that Final Four team there a couple of years ago. John Calipari talked about Nelly Davis following the game the other day against UTSA. This clip is from Hogs Plus, and he's just talking about Davis's recent play.
From running, because they're going to say when they get out and run, they're really good. How about this guy today? We're starting to see Nelly now. You know, everybody was worried about Nelly. It just takes time. I mean, he's stepping in. He's trying to figure it out. He wants to win. But I got to figure out why he's getting so tired in the first 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's anxiety for the start of the game. Not trying to be selfish. I mean, just saying, we got to figure out the beginning of Miami, he was exhausted 3 minutes. And then he was exhausted today 3-4 minutes. So we got to get him, because you see him knocking down shots, had assists to the basket, some layups. He did some good stuff.
Nelly Davis was brought in here to be a three-point shooter. And it didn't go right the first, you know, handful of games this year. But I don't know if you've noticed this, Ethan. In his last four games against Eastern Shore, Illinois, Miami, and UTSA, from three-point range, he's 11 for 20. He's starting to heat it up. I don't know that people really realize that, because the volume of shots that he's taking still isn't very high. But it wouldn't surprise me if that increases because of the way that he's shooting right now.
Yeah, and it's for a player that's in a new system, in a new place, I think that it takes getting a little bit just comfortable. You know, he didn't start off hot at all. I mean, that was one of their biggest gripes throughout the early.
Well, he had the wrist injury.
Yeah, he had the wrist injury too, which we don't know how much that affected, but I'm sure it did. And
I can't see how it doesn't.
Yeah, so it's one of those deals where I think that he's just getting more comfortable right now, and he's starting to gain that confidence back, because once he is a real big part of the equation for Arkansas, which I think he's starting to get to that point, then that unlocks a new, I just think a new look for the Razorbacks. Him and Jonas Adu, those are the two that I look at. I'm like, if you get both of those playing how you think that they can and will, it's probably a different team.
Dusty May, he talked a little bit about Arkansas yesterday. This was on the Inside Michigan Basketball radio show from Learfield. This is their official radio channel for the Wolverines. We'll play a couple of clips from him. First is on playing in the Jimmy V Classic.
Classic, a doubleheader, Miami and Tennessee in the opener, then the Wolverines and the Razorbacks. So you have experience in how unique, how special this is. The cause, of course, the late, great Jim Valvano, when he passed away, this has created more than $400 million in research grants for cancer. So just take us through what this is like, the opportunity ahead for the team in this one-off trip to obviously the Mecca of college basketball, or Mecca of basketball.
Well, obviously, when we were invited last year, we were shocked, because the Jimmy V Classic is something that you remember as a kid watching, and it's always an event with two marquee games. Obviously, the message and the purpose behind it is second to none. And so when they called and asked us if we'd be interested in playing, we still didn't really know our roster at that time, but we instantly said yes for the opportunity to play in New York. Michigan has such a great following in the Big Apple, to play in New York, to play against John Calipari in Arkansas, a Hall of Fame coach and a story program like that. And then just to put our guys on the big stage, this game has great energy to it. It's a great opportunity for us to see where we are in an NCAA tournament type of environment. And so it made sense on a lot of fronts. And then obviously when you're playing against a team as talented as Arkansas, it's something that the athleticism and speed is something we haven't seen to this level up to this point. So it should be a great test for us.
That's interesting what he says about the speed and athleticism, because, you know, we talk about the names that they played, and they are big name teams from power conferences that they played. It's interesting to hear him say, though, that they haven't played a team as athletic as Arkansas.
For sure. And I mean, I think that's something you hear coaches all the time talk about when they get to the SEC from coaching from other conferences. The first thing that jumps out is just the overwhelming athleticism that you have to have in the SEC. And that is one thing that, you know, you look at how the SEC is performing right now, and we've talked about how Michigan's had some big wins and been tested, but have they been tested against a team with the SEC athleticism that Arkansas will have?
But interesting to see tonight. He was also asked about just playing against John Calipari coach teams.
Put his imprints on this Arkansas program in year one.
It looks exactly like one of his Kentucky teams. They have a couple freshmen, a freshman guard who's as good as any freshman guard in the country, in my opinion. They have sophomore guard Wagner, and then a couple older guys, and Davis and Adu and Trevon Brazil, who was there years past. And the freshman Carter Knox. I mean, they have so many talented players. Thiero played for him, I believe, at Kentucky. So it's almost as if they just changed the Kentucky blue to the Arkansas red and moved a little further south. Not much difference. They have the same identity. They play hard. They turn defense into offense. And so it's very, very similar to one of his last few teams in Lexington.
We're hearing that a lot from coaches. Whether or not that ultimately turns out to be true, I think is yet to be seen. But I still maintain that I'm going to withhold judgment on Arkansas basketball until I see all of their players healthy. And we may never see this year, but I think we will. It's not like everybody's getting hurt with the same thing. It's, you know, it's a turned ankle here. It's a, you know, it's coming back from surgery there. It's a wrist injury. I think at some point when they get healthy, we're going to see this team gel and play a lot better than what we're seeing right now.
Yep. And if I remember correctly about last year's Kentucky team, I know, of course, they get bounced in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But before then, they were a trendy pick to make a deep run because of the way that they had come together. I know they had that loss to, was it Wilmington in the non-conference. And then they started after that game to just slowly, like, build the rate and hit a stride. That team got the ball out of, like, down the court so fast. I just remember how fast that you could not be caught lazy getting back, because they would just get the ball down the court so fast and just get easy, quick buckets. And I wonder if that's something we'll see Arkansas start to develop over the course of the year, is kind of just getting out really quick and getting your offense that way a little bit more. Because right now I think that the biggest maybe gripe is people want to see Arkansas just be consistently able to score the ball. And I think right now that it's just the more time they get together and more they get familiar on the court, they'll be able to do some things like that where they're really able to push it.
I read today that Calipari, this is his 28th time to coach at Madison Square Garden. I don't know if that includes his time with the Nets or not, but that's a lot of times that he's coached there. I know he took his Kentucky teams there. UMass, I think, played there when he was coaching there. So that's kind of interesting. He's got the experience playing there. The players, for the most part, do not. Although I think, did FAU, did they clinch their Final Four berth at the Garden? I think they might have. I'd have to go back and look at that.
Yeah,
so,
I don't remember that too much. I was at a softball game when they won the game to clinch them to the Final Four. That's all I remember about that.
And maybe it was a different arena in New York, but I have this thought in my head that New York was part of their Final Four run. I could be wrong. Do you know Arkansas played Michigan in the Garden before?
NIT, right?
1997.
Yeah, 97. 7-8 season.
The 96-97
season. 96-97 season. And they won that game, right?
No, Michigan. Well, depending on who they is, but Michigan beat Arkansas. Arkansas lost both
Arkansas's
games.
Arkansas won on a neutral court against Michigan before, though, right?
I think. Well, they beat them in the Elite Eight at the 1994 tournament to go to the Final Four.
Was that one in? I was looking
that
at
that one was in Dallas.
I was about to say, I knew that one was in Dallas.
Jawan Howard had 30 points and 13 rebounds in that game. He was phenomenal for Michigan, but Corliss had a big game, too. Arkansas won that game 76-68. Yeah.
They've also played in. I was looking at this. They've also played in Los Angeles before.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was. I mean, Brenda Lee was in her prime, I think. Then.
I think Brenda Lee recorded that song when she was 13. By the way. So, you know, so anyway, it's just kind of an interesting little side note. Arkansas and Michigan have played at the Garden before. I'll tell you a Bob Holt story because I'm full of him right now. I'm preparing to speak at his memorial service later this week. When Arkansas played in that NIT Final Four, they lost to Michigan, and then you play a consolation game. So they played UConn 2 days later. And so the day in between, this just tells you it was a sign of the times. UConn staying at like the Marriott near the arena or something like that. I can't remember. Real high, you know, high scale hotel. And Bob knew UConn was playing there. He calls the hotel. Could I speak with Jim Calhoun? And they buzz him into Jim Calhoun's room, and he has like a 20-minute phone call with Jim Calhoun about Arkansas and the following day's game. So just they used to do things a little bit differently. Like if you called Arkansas's hotel right now and you asked for John Calipari, I don't think you're going to get his room.
Yeah, not at all.
So Arkansas and Michigan tonight. Did you remember what you wanted to say? You said you had one more thing you needed to get off your chest.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to talk about the performance I saw last night on the Simpsons broadcast of the Cowboys. I mean, Lisa had an outstanding game. I was trying to figure out what happened toward the end where, like, the Cowboys, I think, blocked a punt.
Oh, it was horrible.
Listen,
it was just the total Dallas way to lose a game.
When you're watching it on the Simpsons broadcast, let me tell you, it was as confusing as I can get. I was like, what just happened? All I know is the announcers were going crazy, and it gave, next thing you know, Lisa's trotting down the field again and getting in the end zone on a pass from Bart.
The ESPN Plus, the Simpsons deal was so far behind the regular broadcast, because I'm watching the regular broadcast in my office, and I let Jack stay up to watch it, and he gravitates toward the Simpson broadcast. Anyway, so it's like 2 or 3 minutes behind real time. And so, you know, basically by the time that happens on the Simpsons broadcast, I've already seen Cincinnati go and score the game-winning touchdown. And the hilarity of how they're trying to describe this in Simpsons world. I can't even come close to recreating it.
Yeah. All I know is that we
I thought the Simpsons broadcast was much better than Andy's room.
Is that what the Falcons
played? And Jaguars,
yeah, I remember
last year
that. Well, the Falcons also just played terrible in that game, so I stopped watching. But that was awesome how Slinky Dog was the yard.
He was the first down marker.
He was the first down marker. The Simpsons one was more, you could tell they'd had some time to like fine tune a little bit of how they do these broadcasts, and I enjoyed it. I also just really enjoyed seeing Lisa. I mean, she was – that's what made the game fun last night was Lisa. I mean, just the way that she was just destroying the Cowboys.
My 3-year-old, who thinks she's the funniest person ever, she came into my office laughing, Jack's watching the Cowboys on SpongeBob.
Yeah, so. Definitely wasn't SpongeBob, but
I told you
I would like
more
to
yellow
see
than the SpongeBob.
Did they have a SpongeBob version?
Not yet.
I think they've had a Nickelodeon.
It comes at some
they've
point.
Broadcasted games on Nickelodeon.
They
before.
Did the Super Bowl on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. So.
NFL Slime Time.
So. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm glad
I like
you got
these.
That off your chest.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, if anybody else was awake and watching that broadcast for that experience, they know how magical it was.
It was pretty cool. I think it's kind of neat the way they do that. I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with next time. We appreciate you being with us. Hope you come to our website, wholehogsports.com, tonight. Again, we're going to have a lot of coverage from Arkansas and Michigan up in New York. Who knows what's going to happen with the transfer portal between now and the time that we have our podcast tomorrow. But we'll have one, and we'll talk about whatever the latest news is then. Hope to see you then. Have a great day, everyone.